Hello, lovely people. Welcome to this week's episode of the Personal Innovation Podcast brought to you by personalinnovationhub.com with me, Eric Sairam. This podcast is all about dreams, passions, careers, and impact. I hope through this podcast, we shall all start thinking bigger about who we are and what we offer the world in a unique way and why people should even bother dealing with us. Today, I am glad to present to you somebody who has started living her life as a love story. All right, so Vera, tell us about who you are.
I first want to say thank you for inviting me to share my journey with your followers and your listeners as well. And hi to everyone listening. I am Edu Ameni Vera. Most people call me Edu Ameni. And I own a fashion brand called Edu Ameni Clothing, where we produce shoes, bags, and other fashion accessories made in Ghana.
Why did you choose to do what you're doing now?
I didn't choose to design shoes or get into fashion. It was never my plan. I wanted to be a filmmaker. The funny thing is that I once applied to NAFTA and GIG, and both of them rejected my admission. And I cried on that very day because I wanted to be a filmmaker. I was badly into gadgets like computers, softwares, and stuff. But then it happened one day when a friend came to me and she was like, she need a marketer for her accessories. She was making bangles made of fabric. And I was not much into it though, because fashion wasn't my thing. I did fashion in vocational skills back in GHS, and I never really took it seriously, so I didn't even have a project work or anything to show. But then she was more into the fact that I could speak to people. So I said, okay, there's an opportunity to market a brand. And then we decided to market it. So we started from traditional marketing, and we also use an online marketing, but then it was in my name. So as we went on. One day she had to return back to school, and it felt as if I'm the face of the brand. So people were calling me for it, and I didn't have it. And one day I was like, okay, why don't I find a way to make those things for people? So I went around to research and find a solution and made my first 10 shoes when as a Edu Ameni now, not as someone helping her friend. So I went back to her and I told her, and she was impressed, and she was like, I could take those things as my job since I wasn't having anything really doing. So I decided to take it up, and that was when Facebook started, like people started using Facebook, and I decided to take advantage of Facebook, the way I put things online, people were following and things. And I didn't have a shop. I don't have a shop. I don't have money for PR. I don't have money for marketing or anything. So I needed to use what I have, and that was Facebook. And that's how it started, yeah.
Great. I believe in dreams a lot. Tell us, what was your dream back at infancy? What was your dream? what did you have always wanted to become?
Actually, I wanted to become a filmmaker. I've always loved to see people on TV. And I quite remember I have some funny books there that I write a lot. Whether I'm making mistakes or not, I just write anything that comes in mind. So back then I would just sit in front of the mirror and interview myself like this. I didn't know that I was practicing something for the future, but I was actually grooming myself into what I want to be. I wanted to be a filmmaker because I'm more good at directing people to do things. So I felt if I become a film director, I'll be good at directing people. I was so much into media and
stuff. All right, so do you think that because film was your dream, and now it did not translate into your passion. What is your passion now?
I'm someone who likes directing people and creating things. So I decided to translate that into the business I'm doing, because in fashion, you create things. And if you don't have the love or the passion for creating things, you cannot be in it. If you don't have love for being around people, networking, because in this job, you need to be around people. You need to be attractive. Like, people have to love you before they can like your products. So I just realized that I'm good at that, influencing people. I love creating things. So I decided to translate that into the fashion.
I'm happy you spoke about love, because I think that people do not buy what you sell. They buy why you sell it.
Yes.
And they will fall in love with what you're selling if the thing resonates with them. Yeah. What have you done so far to make people fall in love with what you sell?
Personally, before, I didn't know what I was doing. But then as time goes on, from comments and suggestions from other people who actually follow, because I have people who buy my things, honestly, not because they even need a pair of shoes to wear. They buy because they want to be close to me. They want to know me. So I think my personal branding is what connects people to me, to my brand, not even the beauty of the shoes or the quality, because they've not even seen the shoes yet. They've not worn it. They don't know what it is like. So I feel my smile, yes, because most people tell me that I smile a lot, and that's what they like about me. And then apart from my smile, I think the fact that I've become more outspoken. And a lot of people like people who are very outspoken, and they tell the truth as well and give them room to express themselves. Because on my social media wall, I give people room to express themselves, to come and debate on issues. And we don't fight at the end of the day. We learn from each other. So that connects a lot of people to my wall every day, to follow me, and then when they follow me, they see my shoes.
What are some of the things that you have done for your personal brand that it's working for you? What are some of the actions, things that you do for your personal brand on a daily basis that work for your business brand as well?
Well, first, I would say someone may not know what personal brand is. So personal brand is actually how you carry yourself as a person. We don't need to be celebrities to have a personal brand. We all have a personal brand in your classroom, in your school, how you behave, how you carry yourself every day on the street is your personal brand. So in my case, I learned that's not how I was, let's say, even this last year. We just entered 2017, but certain things have been dropped in 2016. So it's not just about writing New Year resolutions on social media for people to read. It's about you sitting down, taking a pen and paper, assessing your life and telling yourself, I'm not going to be like this. Now, when I began, I wasn't outspoken like this. I was more introvert and a little bit quick-tempered as well. But then, at the end of the day, I deal with people every day in my life. It's not about me. It's not about what I like anymore. Though I have my personal life to live outside the internet. When I get home, my phone is off. It's just me and myself. But when you go out there, I go out as a duamini. So I have to look for ways to change. I have to, though I can't please everyone, but I have to listen to people. I have people who actually inbox me on Facebook and tell me, or even people around me who tell me that, oh, maybe the way you talk is not nice. Maybe the way you do this is not nice. And I put those things that they tell me down, and I look through them and think about it and read online. You see, you have to read more. I go through the internet and read about personal branding, how to improve. Because, for instance, when you go on the internet, you can find what to do in 2017, how to improve your personal brand in 2017, connected to social media branding or connected to business branding. So I read all those things. I read what you shouldn't be doing on social media in 2017, or what you should be doing on social. And it's not just about social media; it's about how you carry yourself around. So
What are some of those things that you've learned so far that you want to share with my listeners about things that you can, steps that you can take on social media? Let's talk first of all about the do's on social media. What should people be doing on social media to project themselves or to market themselves?
From my personal experience, I think people should come out of their, wherever they are hiding, you need to come out. Because I've met a lot of people who can do things, like great things. I'm not really doing great things. I've seen people who are doing very, very great things, and their issue is, I can't talk, I'm afraid to talk, because when I say something on social media, I'm afraid people are going to shut me down, people are going to insult me, blah, blah, blah. But see, at the end of the day, you need to come out. You can't, no matter how good you are, no matter what you are doing, you can't hide it. You can't hide it and wake up and be looking at it. I remember those days when I used to write things on paper. When I wake up, those scripts, I wrote a script before, and when I wake up, I would just read it and smile and just be like that. So whatever you have that you're doing, just come and do it. If you are good at writing, start creating a blog. You can get Google. They have the softwares that they are free. You can start from there. You can write. Just allow yourself to make mistakes. Write your grammatical error. Pour all your grammar there, whether it's bad or not. Someone out there is going to correct you. And as time goes on, you read more, you read wide to correct yourself. You realize that sometimes you even be like, hey, so I wrote these things years ago. You see, so come out and speak up for yourself. Yeah, promote yourself.
Great. I'm loving this so far. I think that I want us to go through a process that my listeners can appreciate. You see, the personal branding that we talk about is not just about telling the world, I am this or I am that. It's being authentic. It's being true to who you are. And it starts from first identifying who you are. Now, Vera, tell me, how did you identify who you are?
Well, for me, it took a lot of years to realize who I am, what I want to do, and where I want to be. Because I was once someone who had a very, very low self-esteem. Because I'm very cute. I wish most of your listeners would see. I'm very, very cute. Like, I'm not short, but then I'm slim. So, and growing up in a society where people look at your structure, yes, your size, before respecting you or giving you an opportunity to do something, it's not easy. So somewhere along the line, when I started selling, I realized that I have a strong voice, and my voice actually matters. So you see, as time goes on, I try to discover new things about myself. I'm like, wow, I can do this. And the funny thing is that I found my voice when we were having a program and someone did something and I didn't like the person's voice was very piercing, so I was like, keep quiet, and the whole place was quiet. That was when I realized I have control in my voice, and that was when I decided never to keep quiet again.
Great. Never keep quiet again. Never keep quiet again. If you're listening, you are currently listening to the Personal Innovation Podcast with me, Eric Seyram. And this is where we think bigger about who we are, what we do, and why we do it, and how we can impact the world in a very big way. Now, the second point that we want to talk about is, if you identify yourself or you've discovered who you are, you need to create a brand out of it. You need to create how you would want to be perceived by people. Tell me, how have you gone through the process of creating how you want to be perceived by your target audience?
Well, it's everything that I do actually comes naturally. I don't act, because one thing about personal branding or even being an entrepreneur is never to fake it at all. Just be yourself. Let people take you as you are. But then, you know, we have two types of being yourself. There are times that people are just rude and they think they are being themselves, but then you learn to change certain attitude and move on with your life. So with me, I didn't even think I was a brand as a person. I thought I was just selling a pair of shoes online. I realized that my personal brand was attracting other brands like Houdin to employ me and use me for something. So I've become a product on my own. So as a product on my own, just as I create my shoes, I need to create myself. I need to position myself, like my personal brand, in a way that I will attract certain kind of people or I will attract certain kind of brand. So how I carry myself, maybe how I talk to people, you know, my, like, people look at all that.
Great.
Yeah.
So all entrepreneurs, all people, everybody that's trying to start a business out there, you've heard it. The fact is that you need to see yourself as a product. It is not only your product that has to be marketed. You also have to be marketed. Now, when you created how you want people to perceive you, you went through all this process of, even it is a natural process for you. How did you communicate it to the world? How did you start communicating this brand, this your personal brand, this attributes that are about you, this your brand architecture? How did you start communicating it to the world?
I depend on social media mostly for everything. But then in public, wherever I go, I make sure that I am Edu Ameni. When people see me, it's not about the clothes you wear. Personal brand is not about dressing glamorous or something. It's how you carry yourself, who you are, your personality, who you are inside. Because people may love your product, and when they come close to you and it's a different character, they will be disappointed. They will say that, oh, this girl, she makes great product, but her attitude is so, like, you can't even stand her. And that would reduce the kind of people who wants to be close to your brand, because people talk at the end of the day. So for me, I make sure that wherever I go, because my slogan is be unique and different. That's our slogan. So I make sure that I am unique and I'm different. I'm still learning though. I'm not perfect yet. But wherever I go, people don't really get disappointed, because at the end of the day, I get people talk and people. I hear people say, oh, I met you today. Nice meeting you. You are so humble. So at the end of the day, people even want to help you. I have clients who meet me one-on-one. They come and take their shoes. And after that, they go back and send me a test. And they're like, how much do you need to move to the next level? And this only happens when people fall in love with your personality, with who you are. Yeah.
Great, great, great. Now, when people fall in love with who you are, they are ready to invest into you. That's great for personal innovation. Now, another thing that is important in the personal branding process is for you to maintain your brand and your reputation.
Yeah.
Maintaining your brand, your personal brand, even your corporate brand and your reputation. How have you been doing that so far?
Like I said, I'm still learning on it, because it's not easy. At the end of the day, you have competitors. You can't deny that. Though we always say that we are not competing with anyone. So you have to be creative, read more. I've said read more, like, I don't know, 5 times. So you need to read more. You need to educate yourself. And also, you need to be very innovative. You need to be smart, very smart, vigilant, sensitive to your environment, to your customer, people's needs. You know, that is the only way forward. You need to be smart, because when the world changes or things change, you also need to adjust yourself. When you move to a different place, you need to adjust yourself for necessary changes. So you need to be very, very smart. You don't need to be relaxed at all.
Great, great. Don't be relaxed at all. One other very important thing is for you to impact the world, make an impact into somebody's life, if you want to build a brand that will have all the following, have all, will be appreciated by people, have that likability amongst your target audience. Now, Vera, what is the plan if you've not already started, or if you've started, share with us, what are you currently doing to impact? Because we believe that leaving a dent on the universe is one of those things that we need to do. Brands who are able to be social in nature, brands that are able to, as it were, impact the world or the community or become catalysts of change in their communities, are brands that live on, are brands that we always will remember. What have you done so far, or what are you doing to impact the community or to impact the world? Get people to appreciate that, yes, to leave a mark.
Okay. Since I was a kid, or since I started growing up, my dream has always been to inspire young girls. Looking at where I am coming from, like the kind of choices I made in life. So I've always wanted to impart young girls, especially those on the streets, those who don't have anyone, those who don't have voice for themselves. That's, I've always wanted to be their voice, to speak for them, to stand for them. And thanks to my business, I've had platforms, I've been given so many platforms where I mentor young girls, I speak to young girls, people inbox me to ask me directions on how to build their businesses, and I give them free advice. For me, I feel I'm doing something at the end of the day. And also, my brand story alone changes someone, because I have people who listen to interviews and teachings from me, and then they tell me, oh, because of you, I started this. Wow, because of you, because they now believe that as a young girl, no matter how difficult it is, you don't really have to excuse sleep around with anyone to make it, or feel relaxed and dependent on people, but rather you can also fight and make, because I started from nothing. I didn't even have a phone to take pictures of my product. I couldn't afford photography. So if I've been able to come from this, it means the person who is sitting on the street somewhere, who doesn't have maybe rich bag, who doesn't come from a rich background and doesn't have all those phones and things, will feel encouraged that, oh, if I could also do something or move this thing that I'm doing, I'll make it. Apart from that, my brand also supports causes. Most of my friends are into charity works, so mostly we help them if we can. Sometimes we even, nowadays we came up with a package that we do for charity, because we realize that it's not always we can have cash down and give it to you. So we produce, for instance, shoes for you with our own money. You don't have to give us money. And then when we give it to you, let's say 20 pair of shoes or bags, we give you a price to sell it. We handle photography and part of promotion. And after selling, you just give us our production money, and then you keep the rest of the money.
Oh, that's great. That's great. But let's go back. Let's go back to the foundation to your brand. That's your corporate brand. How did you arrive at your brand name? And why that name?
When my friend and I started, she suggested I use my name on social media. So the name was VAAD, which is initials of my name, at Vera Eduamini. But then when I started on my own as a brand, as a personal business that I own, I changed it to Edu A Clothing. But then I realized that Edu-A Clothing doesn't make sense. For a lot of people, they were thinking it's Edu-A, like wood in cream. And then my boss, Atukwensen, I did a research for him. So he featured me in his book and used Eduamini. So he suggested to me that I should rather maintain my name, Eduamini, for my company. And because it's my name, that's my name. And I was like, okay, yes. So I changed again. I rebranded to Edu Ameni Limited. The company is a limited company, but the brand is Edu Ameni Clothing. And one thing, when choosing brand name, I realized a lot of people make mistakes. Like, people don't know the meaning. So what I did was that before using the Edu Ameni, I went on Google, and then I Googled Ameni to check whether there are brands called Ameni. I realized there's none. The only similar one is Giorgio Armani, but the spelling is different. So I realized there's none. Then I also checked the meaning of Ameni, if there is any, because it's very important when you are creating a brand name, don't just think about Ghana or your environment or your community. Think outside the box. You may travel, your brand will become popular. The name may mean something else somewhere. And brand name must be very attractive and unique. So I Googled Ameni and I realized that, oh, in Canada, it's a baby girl's name. And then even in the Arabic, it's actually in the Quran, and it means hope, aspirations, and those things. So I realized it connected to my brand, and I decided to maintain. But then my name is a tree name, but I realized that it's connected to such, and it's the same spelling. So I decided to maintain it.
That brings me to your brand values. What are your brand values?
Quality, creativity, and we believe in making our clients stand out here.
Take it one by one for me, because there are organizations whose brand values are just written, embossed on a wall, etc. But how do you live these brand values? Quality, for instance.
We don't even emboss it on our walls. We show it in the work we do. So that when the clients have our work, they feel important. They are like, wow. Most of the time, people will argue on the price, and when it arrives, they are like, wow, I like it, I love it. You see, so in terms of quality, I spend a lot of money just to produce one thing. I go to any extent. If I keep telling my team that even if I have to spend 1,000 Ghana on a pair of shoes, that is if I have it and I have to spend. So we take our time and do things. We don't just rush things.
Great. So for Edu Ameni Clothing, quality is assured.
Yes.
Yeah. What's the second brand value you mentioned?
Making our clients stand different, like being different.
So differentiating your clients, yes. Making sure that what they wear from you is unique.
Yes.
Tell me about it.
Most of our designs are different because most African print shoes and bags that you see out there, they all have one style. But then when you see our clothing line, you are like, wow, it's not because they've not seen African print shoes before. It's how we combine colors, you see, how we think. For instance, if you are making a male shoe, we wouldn't make loud fabric colors for male. We use woodin, and woodin, the texture is more like leather. And we combine it with leather, and people see it, and they are like, wow. Because it's not just using woodin to make shoes just because we want to do something. No, we want to make people happy. We want people to wear the thing, and like we go to the extent of even using original kente, and only few brands use kente for that. Even when we picked Birkenstock and decided to rebrand, like make our own version of Birkenstock, it was not like the usual Birkenstock designs that every African designer was making. It really stands out that I'm sure if the owners of Birkenstock have seen it, they will come to us
for some collaboration.
Yes.
Great. Now, go a bit into things that have to do with the future. What are your plans for your personal brand and for your business?
For my personal brand, like I said, you don't have to be relaxed. So I'm in school at the moment for my business degree. I've never been in the university before. So I decided to go to the university now. Now that I know what I want to do next 4 years, next 5 years, or for the rest of my life, I decided to go to the university and improve on what I'm doing and get a business degree. So I'm building myself. I know in 4 years' time, I wouldn't be the same person again, because in 4 years' time, I'll be graduating from school and I'll know a lot of things that I didn't know before. I'm still learning. So that's what I'm doing for myself as a personal brand. Because when I get a degree, I'll be able to work for big companies personally. I can leave my business and illustrate for companies and other things. Now, for my business, in years to come, we actually want to become a fashion house, just like how we have factories in China that big designers go to produce things. We want to do that. We want to produce for other people. We want to produce for brands based in, like, we are based in Africa, but we want big brands to come all the way to us and produce. And we also want to have a fashion school. But I need to get that degree first.
let's go back to marketing. Let's go back to marketing. Let's start from social media. How are you using Facebook to, as it were, promote your business?
Facebook was really a good thing, a big thing, because Facebook pays my bills, my school fees and everything from scratch. And I'm very, 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 very outspoken on Facebook. Because nobody's going to promote you if you don't promote yourself. Everyone on Facebook is busy writing something on their walls. So what do you use your wall for? What do you gain from the data you buy? So then I use Facebook to promote my things. But because, like I said, people don't follow me because I make nice shoes or bags. People follow me because of me. And it's because of how I built my brand, on my personal brand on social, because I have a page on Facebook and people don't even go there, but they come to my personal wall. Some years ago, I would like my own post on Facebook. I would tag plenty people on Facebook. I would inbox people on Facebook. But I became very active at a point that I'm going to do this for my business and I don't really care about what others do. So I network a lot on Facebook. I talk a lot, not too much nonsense. Like, you know, people post on their wall, but they are not meaningful. But my wall is such that there is everything on my wall. You come, you find useful articles to read. You come, you find something to laugh on. You come, you find debates there. So I built my wall is more like a public forum where people can just come, speak their mind. People can just come and read something.
So what you are trying to tell us is that companies or brands should not only focus on their core business.
No,
it's promoting their core business. It will look as if they
boring.
Are pushy and it will be boring.
So there's
so they should do more.
You should be networking. You should be engaging. You see, imagine you are out there and at a party, and you are holding a pair of shoes and you go to Mr. A, then you go like, Mr. A, I make shoes, buy some. Mr. B, I make shoes. You become boring. It will get to a point when you are coming, people will be like, oh, this person is coming to show me shoes to buy. But then you need to build relationship. That's the fact. You build a relationship first and then you introduce what you have. Sometimes I don't even have to tell people what I do. Sometimes I stay on Facebook without even promoting my things. I keep busy promoting other people. I do that a lot.
Great, great.
Yes.
Facebook has introduced live video, and Twitter has also introduced through Periscope and etc. Do you see yourself engaging more in live video or using video to promote your business? And have you used video in the past to do any promotions for your business?
Yes. Before even the Facebook introduced the live video, I've not tried live video yet because I need good visuals, like good camera
to do that.
But before Facebook, it doesn't mean when you want to do that with your business, you can start from somewhere if you don't have that. But before Facebook started the live video. I would take short video of the process, like when we are making. Sometimes I do review my bags because pictures will fine. They've seen the outer, it looks nice, but what are the inside? So sometimes I try to take a video of the bag from the outside to the inside, the compartment.
So you let people into what they are going to buy.
Yes.
How everything will look like and all that. That's great.
Yes.
And do you take people into your working room?
No.
Through video to let them see the process of production?
No, not at all.
You don't do that?
Yes, I only show them
the finished product.
The finish, or when we are making, sometimes I take video. And I have, funny enough, and I must say that I'm blessed because I have clients, sometimes when your clients actually love what you do for them, and that's free publicity, they take, I have clients who actually take their time. I never ask for it. And then they take video of what they bought from me and give their review on it. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. That's great. That is good word of mouth.
Yes.
Recommendation for your brand. Now, let's get into live events. I've seen that you attended an event. Was it last year? And it all became a lot of news on social media. You had a hairstyle that became so much of a craze on social media. It was the Chaliwati Festival. Is it a strategic plan? Is it something you've planned to do? Or it is just a coincidence? And how do you see live events going into the future for your brand?
With Chaliwati, I never really planned to do that for my brand. I only wanted to look different. I heard of Chaliwati on Facebook, and the first time I went, I was working with a friend, and he told me to, I had shades on, and one of the shade glasses had removed then. So he told me to wear it like that.
Okay.
My shades, like sunglass, and one of the glasses,
removed.
The eye removed.
So it's one eye.
So I was shy, and I was like, let me put it back into my bag because I couldn't find it because of the crowd. And he was like, no, I should put it like that. People are crazy here. So I put it on and people were taking pictures of me. So he was like, can't you see? And then I was like, yeah. So the next Chaliwati Festival, because that one I didn't plan for it. I was very shy in the crowd. I realized that what I did, that small thing I did, even brought me attention. So I was like, okay. Why don't I make a hairstyle and go to, like, I want to dress crazy and go to Chaliwati. And I love pictures because when you dress crazy, photographers take pictures of you. They want something creative to take pictures of. So I had that hairstyle. I didn't even think of anything. I just went and confused the woman. She was really confused because we didn't look on picture or anything, but she was really good. And the thing turned out great. And I even scarfed my hair. Most people didn't know I was the one. So when I got to Jamestown, I brought the scarf.
I'll actually put this picture on our blog so listeners can go and watch. Go on for us.
I took the scarf off. And when I took the scarf off, oh, that was when everyone wanted to take a picture of me. Like, people were just dragging me. Let me take a picture of it. The attention was just too much, unexpected. And at that moment, I was having fun. I didn't know it was going to be something serious. But just a few days after the Chaliwati Festival, I saw myself everywhere. That was when I realized that, okay, this is actually a good marketing strategy for my brand. So next time, I'm really going to prepare for that. And through that, I got a chance to be a performing. So you see, I'm not even a performing artist. But through that, I got those artists who are into graffiti and those things. They are popular, like Mo. Mo has been on BBC and those things. And I am Crunchy. They invited me to be a performing artist at the Bombay restaurant in Takoradi. So I've built my personal brand to another stage just because I had a hairstyle on, which was different.
Tell us about now that you're doing brand endorsements, doing something for Woodin.
I did something for Woodin, and recently Christmas, Rene's Restaurant. They are the Osumo.
Tell us how all this started and where do you see this going in the future?
I must take you back to 4 years ago. I used to go to Udi to ask them how I can work with them. It's not even about being on their billboard or anything. Just about putting my shoes, because I usually use wooden for my shoes. And they would tell me, oh, they would just encourage me and say bye-bye. Because remember, I didn't have influence then. But 4 years later, I built my personal brand. And I think my hair also added some values and standards.
You mean the hairstyle?
The hairstyle increased my followers.
Okay.
And increased, like, I became very influential, because being influential means you do something, people want to do it. Want to be like you. So Budin was just promoting, they were looking for a brand ambassador. My name was not even there, and I'm very aggressive online. So I went there, I was like, oh, I choose myself. And then all my friends and even people who didn't know me but knew the hairstyle came to the Udin wall. Like, they are all aggressive. You need to make her your brand ambassador. You need to make her your brand ambassador. She does this, she does this. And within marketing, digital marketer, I think they discussed it, and she sent me a letter that evening. And then here comes within asking me to do something for them, giving me an offer. It's up to me to say you. This time, I'm rather going to say yes or no. I'm not interested, and give them my terms and conditions. So this is how building your personal brand helped. And I did within do-it-yourself Wednesday host for them, which they are on break now. They'll come back soon. It's a way of like teaching their fans how to use pieces of fabric to make things. And having within, working with within, it's a big thing.
I see your PR machine is working well for you, because I see you featured on a magazine. I see you interviewed on TV.
Yes, and if BBC used my hair, they gave me credits on, they were doing something on natural hair some time ago, and they were picking natural hairstyles, and they picked my hair. And then Rene's restaurant during the Christmas time invited me to choose my fans or followers or friends and come and eat free.
You see, there are a lot of people out there who are starting their businesses, or they're doing something and they want to be seen on TV. They want people, and without paying for it. Are these things you paid for? No. So how would you advise listeners out there who are running their small businesses or who are starting small businesses how to actually attract the media to them, not pushing for the media to get media attention?
You need to be yourself and also work hard at what you are doing and improve, because like I said, people don't follow my shoes, they follow me. So when they come to my wall and they follow me for some time, I was on KSM. The PR for KSM had been my Facebook friend for long. I didn't even know she works for KSM. We've never met before, but she had been on my wall. People observe. She has seen the things, not the things I say. She has seen the things I do, you see, and it attracted her. So when they need someone to be on KSM, she called me and asked me if I wanted to be there, and I went. So you just have to be. If you are good, come on. It doesn't matter if it takes 5 years. Nobody knew me years ago. It doesn't matter if it takes 6 years. There have been times that those days I go to auditions and blah, blah. Now I don't go to auditions. I have the people sitting on TV calling me to come on their programs, to come and talk at my own time.
So it's not about paying your way through. It's about working hard.
Working hard.
And showing what
you
are worth.
Yes.
That's great.
And you start attracting the right people.
You start attracting the
right people.
That comes to that point where we you see, it's always said that the group of people that you surround yourself with will determine how successful you become.
Yes.
How have you worked on personal relationships, creating that clique of people around you or people that you need when it becomes necessary? How do you get this type of people?
I'm very selective when it comes to friendship, especially because of what I'm doing and where I want to go. So I don't discriminate. I laugh with everybody. But then at the end of the day, who do you call your friends? Who do you work with? Who do you associate yourself with? I look at people who are connected to my target market. I don't just make friends with everyone. I'll laugh with you and chat with you. But then at the end of the day, friendship is different. And friendship is not by force. It's by choice.
So you ask yourself, what is in this for me?
What is in this? What am I bringing to the table? How am I going to help my friend? And how is my friend going to help me? It's about sharing. It's not about which chatting for money. So if I chat with you, if I meet someone new and I chat with you for 5 minutes, what you say or your body language, everything around you will tell me whether I would want
to. So you are one of those people who believe in the fact that they are friends who push you forward.
Yes.
And they are those who push you back.
Yes. Because if you, sometimes it's not like your friends push you back, but let me tell you something. Back in the days, I once had a friend, we were very close that we lived together, and she goes to school where I was working. And then when she comes back, she sleeps a lot. So now it affected me. Why? Because she likes sleeping, especially when she doesn't have class. She can sleep till 12 o'clock. So it got to a time I used to sleep very well. That sometimes I'll tell my boss I'm sick, but I wasn't sick. I became lazy. Like, influence. I don't cook. But my friend is just like that. She doesn't cook. She doesn't wash it. Like, I'm not saying bad things about my friend, but I realized that her lifestyle affected me so much that even if I have to do something, I can't do it. We just wake up, eat, and sleep. We wake up, eat, and sleep. So you need to look at that. And there were two friends, but when she left and I moved in with another friend who wakes up like midnight and wash. She wakes up midnight to go to work. Sometimes I have to go and see her off. I started waking up midnight again. As I've been active, because there are times, and she's the brain, because she used to push me to do this. Sometimes when people order for things and I'm like, Charlie, but me, I'm not into this, so then she'll be like, you can do this, go this, quit your job. She made me quit my job. She told me, you can come and stay at home. I can help you. You know, there's a friend.
Seriously, tell me something right now. There are people out there who are afraid of quitting their job to follow their passion, their dreams. Tell them something for me.
Quitting your job is not easy. There are a few things you need to do before you quit your job. You need to ask yourself if you really want to do this. Because whenever I go on TV or interviews, there are people who call me later and they're like, I want to be like you, I want to go into shoes. If I say why, it's just because they saw me on TV. So they think that it's not every job that will make you famous. There are shoemakers who are not famous, but they make their money all right. They sell what they are selling all right. So it's not like you're on TV, so blah, blah, blah. People look at that too much. You see, so if you want to quit your job, you need to ask yourself. Don't be like, oh, Edwamini is on TV, so I want to quit my job and start.
So you need to ask yourself.
Are you really? Because there'll be days that, see, you're going to get broke, honestly. You are going to be depressed in this job, in every job as an entrepreneur. It's a lonely journey. There are days you feel alone. It's not everything you can share detail with even the person who is very close to you. So you need to ask yourself, everyone can be an entrepreneur, but you need to ask yourself, am I really going to love what I want to do? Am I really going to love it? Because if you don't love it, you quit. You quit within a period of time. You just quit because all this media attention I'm getting now didn't come last 2 years.
So is it that you, before you stopped working where you were working, that is, before you quit your job, you actually had the plan down? You started already, or you knew this is what you were going to do? How did it happen? Well, tell me the process.
Before, for me, in my case, I had to quit my job to go and make a shoe for someone because my colleague was the one who wanted the shoe, and she always pressed on me. I want this. So one day I just left my job.
So I want to be clear on this. So it means you started making shoes.
You were still selling shoes
when you were with your company.
I quit my first job first, and my friend, whilst I was in my room looking for another job, my friend came that I should help her market this. So when she went back to school, I went back to get a job in what I used to do, printing. But in the office, I met someone who was so much interested in shoes. And I told her what I was doing before I came to look for a job. And she said, why don't you make a pair of like 10 shoes for me? And honestly, I was confused. But that's when you need a good friend. My friend told me that I can do this, so I should go for it. And my job is more like marketing, because what I do in my business, I use my experience as a branding, because I was into printing. So it's more like marketing. So I quit my job and I went to make the shoes for her. And then people started chasing me around, and I can't look for another job again. I have to now focus on what I am doing. Then from that, I discovered myself that no, this is what I am supposed to be doing. So I'm going to do this for the rest of my life, whether I have money or not. So I fell in love with it.
Great.
With the creativity part, the fact that I have to create, because I told you I love creating things. So let's say you don't like creating things, or you don't like marketing, or you don't like talking or meeting people. How would you sell? Because in every business is big. Like, we have different departments. So even if you are going into food, you don't need to be the one making the food, but then maybe you have an experience in banking, you have an experience in marketing, so you feel you can translate that into your restaurant job, so you can be taking accounts and things. Now, if you don't love that account part of it, you can't be an entrepreneur on your own, because what if you go to work and you sit down the whole day, and at the end of the month you make those accounts calculations and the business, there's no money. You feel bad because this time it's your own business. But if you are working for somebody and you guys make an account at the end of the month, there's no money. You don't really feel it. But that's your business. You're going to feel bad. So the fact is, do you love what you're going to do? Do you love food making so much that you want to go into it? Not because you saw Papaye. Papaye started from somewhere. Not because of Frankie's. But you love what you're going to do. Because if you're going to be the marketing person for your business, and you know some people go to restaurants and they want to see the owner, they want to chat with the owner. There are some restaurants where you are eating, the owners will come around and say hi to you. Now, if you are the type of owner who doesn't like to network with other people, and people go there because of the owners, not even because of the waitress and whosoever. So if you don't love it, if you don't love seeing people sitting, eating and laughing, how can you own a restaurant?
How can you own a restaurant? Now, let's end with this.
Okay.
Profitability, bottom line, that's the essence of business. When you create a solution in entrepreneurship, you create a solution for the problems that you have identified amongst people, you provide it to them and they pay you for it. No entrepreneur or no business person is Father Christmas.
No.
So tell me about this. How have you been faring with your business so far? And just to encourage people out there, and also to tell them, be honest with them and let them know what is really the issues, the financial, this thing on the ground for you.
One thing in my area of business, there's money in it. One thing about fashion, there's money in it. Though there will be days that you don't have money at all. Not because you didn't make sales. It's because you reinvested, because I don't have a factory yet. We are still growing. So you've reinvested all the money into a project, so you don't have money. But the business is rich, because business must go on if there's no money. But then if I look at my life before and my life now, I would say that it's good because my business has improved my pockets, my wallet. I've been able to pay things, rent, bills on my own through my business, to eat what I want to eat, to go where I want to go through my business, and even pay other people for their services. I pay bills and I buy machine when necessary. So I can only say that it's really good, though there are days that you will not really get the returns you want.
Great. But really, what are your final words to my listeners and your followers? Because this will be on your Facebook page for your listeners to listen. What are your final words?
I just want people to come out and show the world what they have. Because, come on, now it's not like before that you need to go and pay for a radio advert, TV advert, or we all have a platform. And see, you may think that you have just 100 friends on Facebook, but I don't know the number of people who actually visit your wall daily. There are billions of people online. And if you are really doing something great there, don't hide it. I meet people who tell me they are shy. I used to be shy. I wasn't like this. But shyness is a spirit that you need to really kill and bring out. If you have something, you can't do it overnight. You can't make millions overnight. It starts from one person. If you have beads, make them, wear them, find few people, let them wear, take a picture. I wasn't having a phone. Before, I used my client's phone to take pictures. When I delivered the thing, I said, please take a picture and let me put it on my wall. I used their phone and enter my Facebook and put it on my wall. So start from somewhere. Now, most youth even have good phones. Don't just be taking selfies of yourself and put it on Instagram for 1,000 likes. If you have many followers, you, entrepreneur is not just about creating things. You can be a good marketer online. You can just put things on your wall, make endorsements, like tell people, give me, okay, you make clothes, let me put it on my wall. When people buy, I take this amount of money. Come on, you can start from one dress, two. And very soon, you have big brands calling you to endorse them. Don't waste all the bundle and time. It's really bad.
That was great. Thank you, Edu Ameni, for sharing your love story with us. If you just listen to this, the secret to your success is within your grasp. I hope you are motivated to start acting on your dreams and passions so you can live your life as a love story. This has been your motivational personal innovation podcast with me, Eric Seyram, brought to you by personalinnovationhub.com. This is where I lead the movement of us thinking bigger about who we are, what we offer the world in a unique way, and why people should bother dealing with us. The objective is for us all to master our inner gifts, create our own future, and live our lives as a love story. Make a resolution today to be more vulnerable, differentiate yourself, and shine to the world. Let's get interactive. Send me an email now, podcast@personalinnovationhub.com, and follow me on Twitter at Sir Eric Seyram A, and on Facebook, facebook.com/personalinnovationhub. Thank you for staying tuned, and remember to subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and other podcasting platforms out there. Don't wanna hear them say you lose. Don't wanna hear them say you lose.